Thank you, Lopers, for a beautiful song this evening. Thank you for coming on a Saturday night. I see that some of our people aren't here, or at least we don't seem to have as many. I'm sorry I ran them off, but anyway, we're glad you're here this evening, and I want you to stand with me if you would. Turn around and shake somebody's hand that's not in your family. Now, that might be hard around here, I know, because lots of relatives, all right, but remain standing if you would. Proverbs chapter 14. I know God knows all things, and he knows the reason for the message this evening. Trust that God will help us together. Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to look, if you would, to verse number 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Quite a difference there. Two choices, two extremes, a chasm between the two. And I want to look at the latter verse, the latter part of that verse this evening, at least as a foundation point for us. Sin is a reproach to any people. And I asked my son if he would to pray for the message this evening. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you for a while this evening on the title, The Signatures of Sin. The Signatures of Sin. If you were to look up the definition and try to determine what that word signature means, probably all of you have some, at least some idea of what it means, but it is any unique or distinguishing aspect, the feature or mark. All of us have a signature. You know, you have to sign your name. I know many, many years ago, before the Lord called me to the ministry, I was an officer in the bank, and I had to sign my name incessantly. And I got tired of spelling out the entire thing. You know, Nathan D. Shockley. It's rather long if you sign it all the time, you know. And so I finally got to the place that I said, away with this. As much as I have to sign my name to it, I would just do an N and then an S and whoosh back, you know. And everybody in the bank knew whose signature that was when they saw it on a loan approval or some loan documents or something to do with the bank. They knew who that was because that was my signature. It distinguished me from everybody else. And sin has some signatures this evening. It has some things that distinguish it and mark it and set it apart that we ought to recognize. I look at this crowd tonight, and I look at your young people, and I trust, I'm proud of you all, you know, and I can't really put my fingers on anybody and say, oh, you don't look like a Christian. I'm thankful for how you look and hope that you're taking the way with God, but God knows further beyond the outward, because man looks on the outward, but God really looks at the heart tonight. And that's where the problem lies. If I can just share with you before I get into the message, I want to talk to you a little bit about sin. There's no way in the world that I could really adequately define it in just a few moments, but can I share a few things with you that will help you to understand sin in a greater measure if you already don't? We know that sin is universal because Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's a lot of people that I've had that are heroes in my life. In fact, I was talking to Dr. Matlock last night because we have a lot of ties from when I was a little boy and a former denomination that we both were a part of. And in the midst of that, we talked about one of the leaders of that denomination, which was Dr. Remus Rehfeldt. And he was one of my childhood heroes. Wonderful, wonderful man. In modern days, of course, probably everybody has somebody that you would look up to, and person that I just lost, and all of us lost. It was a huge loss to the holiness movement, was Leonard Sankey. And Brother Sankey was a wonderful, wonderful friend of mine. But you think of those godly men, and there was a time in their life when they were sinners. And there's a time in everyone's life, because we're born that way. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." I don't have the time, that's not the focus tonight, but I want to at least tell you that there's things in God's word, his law, his commands, the things that he wants us to live by, and when we go contrary and live our lives contrary to God's law, it is sin in our law. If we look at it in the fact that, let's just take one of the Ten Commandments. It says, "Thou shalt not steal." And so you go by, you know, the candy counter in the store, and nobody's looking, and you just happen to filch one of those little pieces of candy. You say, "It's just a little piece of candy, Brother Shockley." No, they won't miss it. It's no big deal. But in God's law, he says, "Thou shalt not steal." That's a transgression. And we're living in a day today when a lot of people want to just kind of push things under the rug and say, "Oh, it's just a mistake." And I believe in mistakes. I believe we can make mistakes. But when we know that it's wrong and we do it anyway, it's wrong. It's a sin. In fact, therefore, that's explained in James chapter 4 when he says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him or her, it is sin." I think we need to come to grips this evening with the understanding that there is such a thing as sin. And that's why Jesus came, was to deliver us from sin and all that's involved with it. He wants us to live above sin. So whatever, there's lots of things we could go into. I want to hurriedly pass through this. Whatever is not of faith is sin. We don't hear that talked about a whole lot, but I just want to share with you. Whenever you come across in your life when you aren't real sure about whether it's right or wrong, but you know that if you don't do it, you're absolutely in the correct, you would be better off taking that path of total abstinence rather than taking the chance when it's questionable. Faith and confidence in what is the correct path to take lends itself to righteousness every time. And then don't forget that all unrighteousness, according to God's word, all unrighteousness is sin. Sin, of course, Romans says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." God doesn't want sin to be in control. He wants you to have your heart given to God and your control yielded to him. Yield your members to righteousness and holiness, and that's God's plan. But unfortunately, this evening, I'm very aware that sin oftentimes is so involved in our lives. I can know that well. I was 19 years of age before I really, really settled things to go with Jesus. Lots of times, I told you earlier in the meeting, I'd rub my nose against an altar. I had a tender heart toward God. I thank God for that. But I went my own willful way. I knew I was wrong. I shuddered at night. I was worried when, you know, maybe I'd wake up in the middle of the night and everything was cold and quiet. And I'd wonder, oh my, I wonder if the rapture took place. Now, I don't know if anybody else ever had those thoughts or not, but I did. And I'd wonder, man, I'd go down the hall and peek in mom and dad's room, you know, and just see if they're there. And yeah, the covers are moving, you know, they're breathing, they're moving up and down, everything. Everything's okay. I can go back to bed. The rapture hasn't taken place yet. Because I knew I had sin on board. And this evening, I want to talk to you about that because you don't have to live that way. But I do want you to be aware that sin has its signatures. It's the things that define it as such. And for a little while this evening, I'd like to talk to you about those things. First off, I want you to know that sin fancies you. Now you say, Brother Shockley, what do you mean? Have you ever heard the little term, I took a fancy to her, or she took a fancy to me? Now I'm looking out over this congregation, and here sits John and Leanne Ziegler. Now, I don't know if they've been married as long as my wife and I have, but at some point in time, she took a fancy to him and asked him to marry her. He ran for a while, but finally she got a hold of him and convinced him to do it. Now, I'm just picking on them a little bit, all right? Some of you out there in that congregation still got some life left in you, and you're smiling a little bit. I just wonder, do you remember that day when you took a fancy to that person sitting beside you, whether it be your husband or your wife? Do you remember that? Shake your head. Come on, you're alive, right? You remember those days. You remember when, you know, your heart would beat out of your chest and you'd look into those deep eyes and you know, oh man, you're just about ready. You could have run a marathon that evening. I'm worried about some of you tonight. But you took a fancy to that person. What's it mean, Brother Shockley? It means to take a liking to desire them. My mind goes back to a scripture that Jesus, when he was talking to Peter, he says, Satan hath desired to have you. I look over this crowd, and I don't care whether you're 90 or 9. This evening, sin and Satan has their designs on your life. They are fancying you. In fact, if you go back to even to the Old Testament, it shares with us in Genesis 4, because God's talking to Cain. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin is at the door. It's knocking on your door. And unto thee shall be his desire. Sin desires you. But God wants you to rule over it. But it's a signature of sin to take a fancy to you tonight. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter. In fact, in all my time of living, I have heard old saints testify how that the devil was still working on them, even in their advanced years of serving God. Maybe in a little different way than he's working on you young people. But he's still working on them. And sin is still desirous tonight to have you. It's taking a fancy to you. Sin has a signature that it will fascinate you. That means to attract and to hold attentively by a unique power, personal charm, unusual nature, some other special quality, to enthrall. You say, Brother Shockley, oh, I don't have any desire for sin, and I thank God for that this evening. I trust that God has. I think of the song, was it, when we talk about he abides, there's no thirsting for the things of the world. They've taken wings long ago. I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away, and now the Comforter abides with me. Thank God for that this evening. But I want you to know that sin is not without its pleasure. Sin is not something that normally we would look at and despise. In fact, in our unsaved state, in our unsanctified state, sin oftentimes has a fascination to young people and older people alike. I think of people talking about going to the city to see the bright lights. And I just want you to know, you can go downtown and walk through some of our major cities, and just walking down the main street, and you can begin to see all the bright lights. lights. I can remember years ago as a young boy, my mom and dad and I and my sister were coming home from California. We'd been out there in revival, and we were on our way home back to the Midwest. And in the midst of that, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and my parents, we would come by the interstate and the exit for Las Vegas. And I'm telling you, at 2 o'clock in the morning, that place was buzzing. In fact, they were filming a movie on one of the main streets of Las Vegas, and that they call it Sin City. I was by through that city just maybe a couple, three years ago, traveling from Idaho to Arizona for revivals in the summer, and I can remember going through that. I had a young lady who we'd pastored in Michigan that was out there, and she drove a taxi, actually. I'm not sure it's a job that any young lady in Las Vegas ought to be doing, but she was doing it. And so we stopped to see her and to renew acquaintance, and she took us a little bit of a tour of some things. And I'll just tell you what, walking in normal places with sights, I have no desire to ever go back to Las Vegas again. But for people whose hearts are not right with God, there's a fascination with sin. I talked to you a little bit about that last night. I'm not going to go into all those things, but I want you to know, holiness people, your children are still at risk. Can I just, for a minute, share with you something? This isn't in my notes. But I know that there's a lot of things about technology today. And I'm not opposed to technology. I have a smartphone. But I want you to know that you can get into a lot of trouble with technology. And the devil will do everything he can to lead you down the wrong roads. I'll tell you what, it's so important to have a holy heart today. And to be very careful in your use. Am I telling you that it's a sin? I'm not telling you, but I'm going to tell you what, it can lead to sin, and it can lead to sin quickly. It'll fascinate you. I don't have the time tonight to go into all the little rabbit trails that I could take. But this evening, can I share with you, I believe that if you are here and sin is wrapping its clutches around you in order to fascinate your mind and to fascinate you, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to be faithful to you this evening about what it is that he's trying to talk to you about. Young people, it may be a career in the world. It may be involving yourself in worldly pleasures. Listen to Brother Shockley this evening. Sin will do everything it can to fascinate you because that's one of its signatures. Moses chose rather to endure affliction with the children of God than to endure or to enjoy, pardon me, the pleasures of sin for a season. Stories told that I've heard, I've never proved it, I've never verified it, I'm assuming that it's true, but the Indians, whenever they were wanting to hunt, they would a lot of times take a little sapling of a tree and strip it of its leaves and take it out into the middle of a field, and they would put it into the ground until it would be supported through the ground, and then they would tie a white flag at the top of that tree, and then they would go away and begin to watch and so forth from some cover, and pretty soon they said the deer would begin to see that white thing in the air, and they were curious animals, and they would slip around until they finally would go out to see just exactly what was that white item. Brother Ziegler, maybe that's an idea for you and me. And then they could shoot it because they were fascinated. Young people, adults, sin will fascinate you. I want to move on this evening because sin will fetter you. That's another one of its signatures. It will fetter you. Paul said, I see another law warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Jesus answered in John chapter 8, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Sin has its way of getting your attention, and then it begins to wind its tendrils around your heart and your mind and your life. We live in a world today of addiction. Maybe it's strange to you, but there are those who are addicted to drugs, addicted to strong drink, alcohol, addicted to pornography and immorality and all the things that are in the cesspool of the world today. And they say, oh, I'd like to break free. I'd like to quit it. I'd like to stop. But it's weaved its way into their life until it has got a hold of them. This evening, I've used probably something similar to this in an illustration, either in school chapels or preaching to young people before. But you get somebody and you bring them up and you get some thread and you begin to take that thread and wind it around them. You know, two or three strands, boy, they can break it. You get a really strong guy and you know, several strands, but after a while you can get those strands so much around them until they'll struggle and do everything they can to break it, but they can't break. And sin's that way. It will fetter you. You'll become its captive. There were many convicts at one point in time. They were employed in building the high walls around the prison grounds at Portland. There were soldiers that were posted above them with loaded guns and watched them as they labored there at their work. Every brick that those incarcerated inmates laid rendered their escape more impossible, and yet they themselves were actually laying the blocks that built the wall that kept them inside. Oh, preacher, I can quit. I can stop. I have no worries. It's all okay. There'll come a day when you'll try and you've built the wall, block by block, thread by thread. And you're caught. You're fettered. Sin finds you out. There's stories abounding that we could share, and that's not, you probably know them, but Numbers says, behold, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure. I want you to remember this. Be sure. Can I say that again? Be sure. Your sin will find you out. Remember Ahab and Elijah, and Ahab was talking to Elijah. He says, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Jeremiah says, I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware, for thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. There's a lot of people in life who thought, I'll never be found out. Unfortunately, there's been husbands that thought they could have an affair, or a wife who thought she could have an affair. Nobody will ever find out. But they have been. I remember a little story as a boy in a hurry with the details. I can still remember. Anybody remember records? Vinyls, they're becoming a thing again, all right? And so if you've got a record player, it's like anything else. They said, you know, if you had the really wide ties, just hold on to them. Eventually they'll be back in style, all right? We've gone through the real skinny ones, and now they're making their way back. So just hold on to it. So if you got a record player, you know, it's back in style. I can remember listening as a little boy to a record and had about Johnny. And he and his friend, oh, their dad was raising a watermelon patch, and there was this one out there that was so big. Oh, it was the biggest watermelon they'd ever saw. And they watched it one day. They'd been playing, and it was hot and so forth, and they were laying out under the tree, and their eyes were, you know, caught by that great big watermelon, and finally they couldn't stand it anymore, and they went out in the field and got the watermelon, and you know what they did? They ate the watermelon. And then they realized they're going to have to do something with it. So they packed up all the rinds and the seeds and stuff. And he said, I went out in back of the barn, and he said, I planted it, or I put it down in there and buried it. He wasn't thinking. He didn't realize it. But one day he was out at the barn, and all of a sudden he seen all these little green sprouts coming up out of the ground. And he suddenly realized that's watermelon sprouts. And so he began to hurriedly try to grab them and pull them out. And he thought he was done. The next day he went back, here's more. And it just kept on. And one night he was in bed and he was dreaming, and he said, here comes the watermelon up the stairway, you know, and it was going to get him, this little boy. And we all know that that's not true, but in his mind he thought he was had. You may think you have things covered, but be sure your sin will find you out. It follows you. Evil pursueth sinners, Proverbs 13 says. Paul told Timothy, he said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. Even a child, a young person, is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. It follows you. There's no soundness in my flesh, the psalmist said, because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sins. And many are the testimonies of people who tell you that in the middle of the night they wake up and all they can think about is all the things that they have done that are in their closet, that are their skeletons. I can remember... Have you ever heard of tin can and a dog? So what you do is you get a big bundle. Now listen, this was in my younger days when I was mean and wasn't a Christian, all right? So please don't do this. I shouldn't tell you these stories. I'm afraid that, well, I don't know. Some of you older ones might even go home and try this. But nevertheless, you get a dog and you get a bunch of cans and tie them all together. And then you get a long string and you tie it to the tail of the dog. And the dog cannot get away from it. Everywhere it goes, it's dragging those cans with it. I've never forgotten an incident in my life. Please don't hold it against me. I hope there's probably some cat lovers here. Any cat lovers? Oh, maybe I'm safe. I was in my teens at a friend's house. His sister had a cat. And we loved playing with fireworks. So, John, you know what we did? We got a bottle rocket. And we tied that bottle rocket to the tail of the cat. Now, please forgive me. I told you, oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station. But I'll never forget, I will never forget, I can still see the scene in my mind tonight. They were backed up to the woods. They had a garden space behind the house. We had tied the bottle rocket to the cat's tail, and we finally lit the bottle rocket. And that cat went off like a bullet. It was headed straight for the woods. I can still hear the sizzle. I can still remember watching that tail on that cat as that bottle rocket was pulling against it. And Betty had hit the woods, and about that time the bottle rocket went off, and alas, I didn't get to see what the cat did because it was already in the woods. But I've never forgotten that. It was following that cat, whether it liked it or not. And the devil will tie your sins to you, and you may try to run, you may try to get away from them, you may try to do everything you can to escape, but it's there behind you, and it's following you everywhere you go. Things in my life that I wish I had never done. I mean that. Say, Brother Shockley, yeah. Oh, I'm thankful they're under the blood this evening. I'm thankful. The devil doesn't want me to forget them. God's washed them away, never brought them up again. Thank God. I just want you to know, there's some people this day that would say, Shockley? Nathan Shockley is a preacher? Yeah, by the grace of God. But sin will follow you. I want to come to the last point this evening. Because sin will finish you. I think its crowning signature remember, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Radio personality Paul Harvey, probably some of you younger ones will not remember him, but I can remember him. I would love to listen to his news in the morning, and especially I always enjoyed the rest of the story at 6 o'clock at night. He's dead now. But Paul Harvey tells the story of how an Eskimo kills a wolf. The account is very grisly, and yet it offers fresh insight into the consuming, self-destructive nature of sin. He said, first, the Eskimo will take a knife blade, and he will hone that knife blade until it is razor sharp. I mean, it's one of those, you know, where you can just lay it against your skin, and boy, off comes the hair in a heartbeat. I mean, it is razor sharp. And then that Eskimo will take that knife, and of course they live in the cold weather, and so they will get some fresh blood, and you know, maybe it's from another animal, or maybe it was from a cow or whatever, but they'll get a big bunch of blood, and they'll dip that knife in the blood, and then they'll lay it out to freeze, and then once it's frozen they'll put it back in the blood and then take it out, and back and forth over and over again until that blade of that knife is now completely coated and several centimeters deep with frozen blood. Then they will take that knife and go out to where they know the wolves are at, bury it handle down into the snow, into the ground, till it's well stabilized and no way it could be moved, with only the blade encased in frozen blood. Of course, those wolves have noses that can smell that blood trace, and they come to the realization that's there, and a wolf will come along. He'll begin to lick that, tasting that blood. He'll begin to lick at it and lick at it and lick at it, lick at it, until finally, unbeknownst to him, not realizing it, he has now reached the blade, and it has begun to cut his own tongue, and his own blood is flowing in that, into that whole mess that's around, and he is actually consuming his own blood, until the next morning when the Eskimo comes out there, he finds the wolf dead on the ground. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The piano player is going to slip to the piano this evening. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I felt like I was thought about going a different way, and the Lord said, no. I don't know who's here this evening. You're a good-looking crowd. But sin fancies you tonight. It'll fascinate you. Oh, yes, it will fetter you. Find you out and follow you, and when it's all said and done, it will finish you. I can tell you stories. I'm not here to do it this evening. I'm not trying to necessarily scare you, but I want to warn you this evening that stories abound of people who have listened to messages just like I'm preaching to you tonight, who have walked out without dealing with their sin problem, only to meet their demise in short order. You might look wonderful. You might look great. But down in your heart tonight, the Holy Spirit has found you out. And you know there's something. You say, Brother Shockley, you're making it hard for me to mind God. No, I don't care if it's a little lie or a huge, gigantic lie. Either one of them will keep you out of heaven. You may not have gone to the depths of sin like maybe other people have had, but you've dallied in sin. And you'll miss heaven just as much as the person who's down on Skid Row today. And this evening I felt like God wanted me to warn you about the signatures of sin, the things that set it apart, that distinguish it. And I want you to know most of all, when it's done, it'll finish you. As we stand together this evening, our heads bowed, eyes closed, I just wonder this evening, is there anyone tonight? I don't necessarily think you've done hugely immoral things, but God knows in your heart whether there's some issues of sin tonight. Maybe it's some disobedience to parents. Maybe it's a rebellion and against authority. And maybe there's some other things that are going on in your life that God the Holy Ghost is talking to you about this evening. I just want to give you an opportunity before we go home tonight on this Saturday night to slip out of your seat and come pray about it tonight. Is there anybody this evening to slip out? Just mind the Lord. Say, Brother Shockley, I want to deal with some things tonight before I go home. May not be a young person this evening that needs to pray. It may be one of our adults. Just asking you this evening, if you sense that touch from God, would you slip out of your seat and come down here and pray before we go home tonight? I know it's Saturday night. Sunday's coming. Love to pray with you, but I'm not going to hold you long. I just want her to play it again. It's a short song. If somebody will come, I'll have her play it one more time. But if nobody comes by the time she reaches the end, I'm going to let you go home this evening. Anybody this evening say, "Preacher, I need to pray before I go home." She's coming down to the last half, just two bars, two staffs on this song. Anybody this evening want to step out, mind God tonight? I'll have her play it one more time. If somebody, you'll come. Thank you for your attention this evening. Trust that you'll go home, find a place to pray before tomorrow morning. Come back tomorrow. Trust you'll be in prayer for the services tomorrow. Brother Ziegler, do you have anything else, brother? Amen. Brother Thomas, would you dismiss us this evening in prayer, please?